And thank you for joining us for today's IBM. And we will conduct a live Q&A session immediately following Baha's presentation. In the teleconference today, we're going to talk about the new collaborative methodology of doing DB2 change management in the ZOS environment using new releases of DB2 administration tool and DB2 object comparison products. The speaker for today's teleconference is Baha Mahid, DB2 for ZOS Technical Sales Specialist. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Baha. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you very much for joining us in the session today. I appreciate you all taking the time out of your day to listen to today's presentation on the new IBM change management process. Using the DB2 administration tool and the DB2 object comparison tool. So let's begin with the agenda on slide 2. We start with an overview of the IBM DB2 administration tool and the DB2 object comparison tool. Then we'll go over the new change management terminology. Following the overview, I'll discuss the new change management processes in more details. I'll share with you the screenshots of the scenarios that I ran for this demonstration using the DB2 administration tool. The scenarios will show you how to register, analyze, and run a DB2 change using the new process. And at the end, you will have time for your questions and comments. So let's move on to slide 3. The DB2 administration tool, or the admin tool, provides a comprehensive set of functions that help you to manage your DB2 environment efficiently. It has an ISPF interface, and it's easy to use. The admin tool provides a full range of database administration functions, such as navigating the DB2 catalog and performing complex database changes and migrations. The alter capabilities allow you to perform name changes, add or delete table columns, table space redefinitions, and so on. The migrate capabilities allow you to move an entire test system, for example, into production system. It can also be used to consolidate two separate database systems. The admin tool integrates with the IBM DB2 utility suite, where it simplifies the creation of the DB2 utilities jobs. The latest release of the tool, version 7.2, supports the new change management process. You will see in this demonstration how you can use the admin tool while implementing the new process when making a DB2 change. And the tool supports DB2 version 8 and DB2 9. Next slide, please. The DB2 object comparison tool, or the object compare, compares the structures of two DB2 objects. The tool generates the compare reports and the apply jobs to make the target look like the source. It can also be used to propagate changes from one environment to another. It has an ISPF interface, and it supports DB2 version 8 and DB2 9. The object comparison tool is not a standalone tool. It requires the admin tool. Next slide, please. So, why we need change management? Well, the answer is IBM has developed the new change management process in response to customer requirements. Our customers wanted an automated and consistent way to implement DB2 changes and to be able to promote changes from one system to another. Customers were also looking for auditing capabilities to see who made DB2 changes. So based on these requirements, IBM implemented the new process in both tools and was announced in December of 2006. In order to use the new management feature, you must have a license for the DB2 administration tool and the DB2 object comparison tool. Next slide, please. So So what is the new DB2 change management process? It is a set of processes to manage DB2 changes. It provides a structured and consistent way to implement DB2 changes. It allows you to implement changes in a collaborative fashion. When you register a change, the admin tool saves the change in the change management database and it automatically assigns a unique identifier or ID for tracking purposes. You also have the option of running a change as a normal change or as an immediate change. Immediate changes run immediately without the analyze process, where a normal change must be analyzed before the change can be applied. In the analyze process, the admin tool will determine what must be done to implement the change. The admin tool also provides you with the capability of creating changes for recovery purposes. Recovery changes are used to back out completed changes. You can also produce various reports on DB2 changes using the new process. Next slide, please. To be able to register changes in the change management database, either the default change management level or the level for the current user ID must be set to either required or optional. This slide shows you how you can set the default change management level to required if you want every DB2 change to be registered. If you set the default level to optional, however, the user will be prompted and have the option as to whether to register the change or not. If you set the default level to none, in this case, no changes will be registered in the CM database. You could also override the default change management level for one or more specific SQL IDs by defining entries in the change management ID table, as you can see on the slide. It is highly recommended that you develop a change management strategy before setting these options. Next slide, please. So let's take a quick look at the new change management process and some terminology. The register process is used to register a change in the change management database, where the analyze process will determine what must be done to implement the change. The analyze process creates a work statement list, or a WSL. A WSL is a collection of one or more tasks that perform basic operations. For example, a WSL may include create, drop, alter statements. It may also include DB2 commands or utility statements. And WSLs can only be managed from within the admin tool. And if a change analyzed successfully, it is ready to be run. That is, you are ready to apply the changes to the database, where the admin tool creates a batch job to run the WSL that was created from the analyze process. You also have the option of creating a recover change during the analyze process. The recover change allows you to back out the original change that was completed. In the promote process, you can move changes from one system to another. And the import process allows you to create a change on a different system. So let's begin with the register process. Next slide, please. Register is the first process in change management. The process flow you see on the slide shows the events that take place during the register process. During the register process, the tool dialog builds the statements to make the change. After you define a change, you then register a change by giving a name and assigning an owner and a type. The admin tool then automatically assigns the change ID for tracking purposes and records the change in the change management database. If you register a change as a fast change, in which the change is executed immediately, the status would be either complete or failed. And if you register a change as normal, the admin tool would place the change in defined status. In the following slides, you will see screenshots from the register process using the admin tool. Next slide, please. In the next few slides, I'm going to insert a column table and register the change. So we start with the screen in the background, which shows a list of tables in the DB2 subsystem DSNC. You can also see the grant and migrate primary commands. These commands apply on all objects that you see on the list. You also see the line commands, which can be used on specific objects. I enter the ALC line command, which stands for alter column, next to the table GLWTEMP. And after pressing the Enter key, the tool prompts me, since the user ID DBA104 change management level is set to optional. And since I want to register this change, I answered yes. I will not get the change management prompt if the change management level for the user ID DBA104 was set to none. Next slide, please. The admin tool will take me to the alter table panel to make my changes. On this panel, you can see another set of primary commands such as a prime key, related, and so on. You can also see the line commands such as insert, delete, update, and so on. In the lower portion of the panel, you can see table columns along with their data types and lengths. And for the purpose of this demonstration, I'm going to insert a column, term date, using the I line command, or insert. Next slide, please. On this slide, you can see that the new column, term date, was inserted. You also see a message reminding us of a required change to a related view. We can get to the related view by entering the REL primary command, which stands for related objects, on the command line of the panel. The alter related panel is displayed, as you will see in the next slide. Next slide, please. You can see the view is listed among other related objects on this slide. And to make changes to the view, I enter the alter line command, or A, next to the view. The tool prompts me as to whether the view should be created with or without a column list. I entered option 1 to make my DDL changes to the view. Next slide, please. The DDL statement of the view is displayed. I made the change by inserting the new column term date, then I pressed the PF3 key, and the tool will take us back to the alter related panel, and by pressing the PF3 again, we'll go back to the alter table panel, where we started this process. Next slide, please. On the alter table panel, notice that the object action column, which indicates whether an object would be dropped and recreated. You can also see the action drop SC. SC stands for skip convert, next to the table GLWTMP. Skip convert is a new enhancement introduced in version 7.2 of the tool. Under certain conditions, when we use the ALC command to change a table, the admin tool determines that the step which occurs between the unload and the load steps to convert the data is not necessary. Performance can improve when the tool omits the conversion step for the bad job. We then enter the alter primary command on the command line to generate the change job. So far, the change has not been registered yet. We only build the statements for the change. Next slide, please. Now, the change registration panel is displayed. I assign a name for the change and a comment, and the Delta version information defaults to the owner and the name of the change when I press the Enter key. Next slide, please. More information on fast changes. Fast changes are processed immediately in the register process. Therefore, the analyze and run processes do not apply to fast changes. A fast change is considered an immediate change if there were no pending changes. A fast change is considered an emergency change if there were pending changes. Since fast changes are executed immediately, they cannot be recovered. Next slide, please. So back to our change. This panel shows that our change is now registered in the change management database. The register process for our change is complete and is ready to be analyzed. Pressing the TF3 on the register panel will take us back to the original list of tables panel where we started making this change. Next slide, please. Now, to check the status of register change, you can type the primary command CMM on the command line within the admin tool to get to the change management panel that you see in the foreground. From this panel, we choose option 1, or manage changes. Next slide, please. On the manage changes panel, we choose option 1 again to get to the display list of changes. On this panel, we can refine our selection by populating the search criteria at the bottom of the panel. You can also set the search criteria by time ranges, by days or minutes or months. Next slide, please. The changes panel is displayed now with a list of changes owned by the owner ID DBA104. The status for the change within the change management could be any of the following values. I start with the initial, which indicates that a change was created but not registered yet. Defined status indicates that a change was created and registered and is ready to be analyzed. And a change is an analyzed status if it was validated and the WSL to run the change has been generated. Where running status indicates that a change being run, a running status that did not change to complete indicates that the job has failed. And a change in complete status if the change has been analyzed and implemented successfully. Where the cancel indicates that the change has been canceled. And finally, failed status indicates that the change is a fast change and did not complete successfully. Next slide, please. So generally speaking, the registration process does two things. It registers or records the change in the change management database, and secondly, it creates a delta version. A delta version is a special type of version file, which is the catalog representation of the changes being made. Delta versions are not created for emergency or immediate changes. Next slide, please. The delta version that was created for our change is shown on this slide. Next slide, please. In the next few slides, you will see how the admin tool handles conflict resolutions. On this slide, you see that an alter column or ALC command being issued on the table SS1-1EMP. And this table has pending changes. Next slide, please. Since the user DBA104 was registered in the change management ID table with the level of optional, the change management prompt to register the change is displayed as you see on the slide. I answered yes. Next slide, please. The dialog to define the change would have resumed if we did not have pending changes. However, in this case, the admin tool detected the pending changes exist for this table. In this case, the admin tool offers two options to deal with pending changes. We can either choose the apply option or supersede, which I'll describe in the next few slides. Next slide, please. If we choose the apply option, meaning that our new change will be created as if the pending changes have already been made. In other words, The new change is defined on virtual representation of the objects with the pending changes applied. Next slide, please. We continue defining our change with the apply option. Next slide, please. If we choose the option to supersede the pending changes, then we're going to define the new change without taking the effect of the pending changes into account. In other words, our new change is being put ahead of the pending changes. All pending changes are placed in defined status in this case. Next slide, please. And then we'll get to the alter table panel and continue with our change. Next slide, please. We then complete registering the new change by assigning a name and a comment. Next slide, please. The new change is now registered in the change management database. Next slide, please. If we go back to the changes display panel, we can see that the pending changes are indeed placed in defined status. And this slide concludes the register process. Next slide, please. Normal changes must be analyzed before the changes can be applied. The analyze process basically determines what must be done to implement the change. When you analyze a change, the DB2 admin tool generates a batch job. The batch job analyzes how the change modifies existing objects and creates a work statement list, or a WSL. WSL is used in the run process to apply the changes. During the analyze process, the admin tool automatically generates a base version of the objects and merges the delta versions with this base version to create two new base versions. A target version, which represents the objects in the DB2 catalog, plus any pre-requested changes, and a source version, which is the target version plus the changes for the change being analyzed. The admin tool then invokes the DB2 object comparison tool to compare the source and the target base versions to generate the work statement list. The base versions used in this process are temporary and are not saved in the change management database. Next slide, please. You can analyze a change on the change display panel by entering the AN line command next to the change, as you can see on this slide. Generally, to analyze a change, the change must be in defined or analyzed status. Next slide, please. In our case, the admin tool detected a prerequisite for this change, and I chose option 3 to show the prerequisite changes. Next slide, please. The prerequisite changes for the object SS11EMP are shown on this panel. Next slide, please. Now the change SS11EMP is placed in the analyze status. Next slide, please. On this slide, the box in the middle shows the actions formed during the analyze process. We started with the AN line command on the left, and in the yellow box, you can see the validations and the JCL generation process that takes place during the analyze process. And finally, the WSL to implement the change is generated. And the analyze process also produces reports, which we'll see in the next slide. On slide 40, you can see the report that was generated from the analyze process, where you can see the column term date was added as part of this change, and the table would be dropped. Next slide, please. This is the remaining portion of the report, the analyze report. and shows the differences before and after. And this slide concludes the analyze process. Next slide, please. In the next few slides, we'll have a quick review of versions before we start the run process. A version is a snapshot definition of a set of DB2 objects at a point in time. Versions are created in two ways. You can create a new version after applying a change, which you can then use as the base version for a subsequent change, or you can use the generate version or GV line command to create a version from version scopes. We'll see examples of this in the coming slides. Versions enable us to track and promote changes. They also allow us to restore DB2 objects to a previous version. A version scope, however, identifies the set of objects to be included in processing a version. Next slide, please. We can manage the versions from the Manage Versions panel of the change management process. We get to this panel by selecting Option 4 from the Change Management panel in the Admin tool. Next slide, please. You can see on this panel, it shows a list of version scopes. Next slide, please. On this slide, I use the line command SO to show the objects within a version scope. Next slide, please. This slide shows how we generate a version using the generate version or GV line command. Basically, the admin tool generates a bad job to create the new base version. Next slide, please. And on slide 47, you see output from the job that was submitted to create the new base version. Next slide, please. What you see on this slide is a list of versions being displayed. Generally speaking, there are two types of versions, a delta version, which is built by the tool when a change is registered, and you can see those where they have type equal to D for delta, and secondly, a base version, which is created automatically by the tool or from a version scope, as we saw this in the earlier slide. And this concludes the analyze process. Next slide, please. After a change has been successfully analyzed, it is ready to be run. When you issue the line command to run a change, the DB2 admin creates a bad job to run the WSL or the work statement list that was generated during the analyze process. During the run process, you can optionally create a new base version. Next slide, please. You see the RN line command on this slide is entered next to the change ID number 42. You can also see that this change is in analyze status. Next slide, please. This slide shows a display of work statement list library, where you can see that there are various line commands to manage work statement lists from within the admin tool. Next slide, please. After I executed the RN line command, the change is placed in running status, as you can see on the slide. Next slide, please. If a change has successfully completed, the status changes from running to complete. If a change continues to be in a running status, then this situation indicates a problem. The admin tool has the capability to restart failed jobs. Since it maintains an internal DB2 table called the checkpoint restart table, which keeps track of the work statement list jobs execution. You see a display of this table on this slide. a failed job could be restarted without manual intervention from the user. Next slide, please. This slide shows you how to start failed change by issuing the ER line command. And this slide concludes the run process in change management. Next slide, please. We move on to the DB2 object comparison tool, or object compare, on slide 55. The tool is used to compare two sets of DB2 objects, a source and a target. The tool generates the apply jobs to make the target look like the source. The tool is fairly easy to use. To run a compare, you would first select option 1 to specify the source objects, and then you would select option 2 to specify the target, and optionally you would select option 3 and 4 to specify any masks or ignores. And finally, you would select option 5 to generate the apply jobs. You can also save the screen dialog for future use. With the new change management process, you would be prompted prior to generating the apply jobs if you want to register the compare change in the change management database. And we'll see a scenario in the next few slides. Next slide, please. So first, we specify the source objects. We also need to specify the origin of the object's definitions. Object definitions could be taken from the DB2 catalog or a DDL file or a version file that was created by the DB2 object comparison tool in a previous run. Next slide, please. This slide shows that we made the selection for the source objects. Next slide, please. And then we move on to specify the target objects. So we select option 2 from the main menu of the object compare. Next slide, please. We continue in identifying the target objects. Next slide, please. And this slide shows that we made the selection in identifying the target objects. Next slide, please. We can optionally define masks. Masks, or translation masks, specify how the names to be translated when objects are compared or when they are moved from one system to another. So I'm selecting option 3 from the main menu of the DB2 object comparison tool. With the new change management process, now I can either define a new mask file or use mask from the change management database. Next slide, please. On this slide, you see I'm selecting the mask named SS11, SS12 from the change management database. Next slide, please. This slide shows you how you can define a new mask in the change management database from the manage mask panel. Next slide, please. First, you need to create the mask by selecting option 1, and then you can create the mask lines, as we'll see in the next slide. Next slide, please. The ML line command, or mask lines, allows us to insert mask lines. Next slide, please. On this panel, you can see that several new mask lines being created. Next slide, please. You can still use the old method of defining masks in a file format, as you can see on this slide. However, these mask files are not registered in the change management database. So it is recommended that you define all masks in the change management database. Next slide, please. To continue with our compare job, the fourth thing that we need to do is to specify ignores. And ignores are used to specify DB2 catalog fields that are to be ignored when objects are compared. So Similarly to mask, ignores are optional, and they can also be defined within the change management database. Next slide, please. On this slide, you can see that the ignore SS11, SS12 is being created in the change management database. Next slide, please. And this slide shows how we use the ignore line command, or IL, to insert the ignore lines. Next slide, please. In our example, we are choosing to ignore the space field in our comparison. Next slide, please. At this point, we have completed all the specifications for the source, the target, objects to be compared, and we specified the mask and ignores, and you can see the status for these selections on the right of the panel on the slide. And now we are ready to generate the compare job. Next slide, please. This slide shows the options to be set for generating the compare job. For the purpose of this demonstration, I will only address the option that relates to change management, which is the apply job. You can see this option is on the top portion of the panel in the foreground. In the new change management process, if this option was set to yes, then the change management prompt is displayed in order for us to register the compare change in the change management database. Next slide, please. You see the change management prompt is displayed. Next slide, please. And this is a sample of the compare job output from the DB2 object comparison report. You notice from the report that the data type for the column last name was changed from varchar 20 to car 25. And with this slide concludes the DB2 object comparison tool demonstration. Next slide, please. If you want to promote a change in which you would move DB2 changes from one system to another, for example, if you want to move changes from acceptance to the production system, you do that by creating a delta change using the promote changes option from the change management panel. The delta change contains SQL statements which represent the differences. You then import the delta change into a change on another system. To promote a change, two versions must exist. So on the promote panel, you would specify the starting version, which represents the state of objects before any changes are made, and then you would specify the ending version, which represents the state of objects after the promoted changes are made. During the promote process, the admin tool compares two versions and generates the delta change file. Next slide, please. And this slide shows an example of a delta change file where you can see the change statements. You can import this delta change data set into a new change on another system. Next slide, please. You can create a change by importing SQL statements from a data set. When you import the statements, a new change is created and registered. You can import changes by selecting the option Import Changes from the Change Management menu and the Admin tool. And on the Import panel, you would specify the name of the data set, which contains the SQL statements created by the promote process. You will also need to specify the mode to use for checking prerequisite changes that are pending. Importing a change is a two-phase process. First, the admin tool determines if there are any pending changes for the objects. And secondly, the tool registers the imported change in the change management database. And you have the option to run the import process in batch mode or online mode. Next slide, please. You can use the reporting feature in change management, for example, to display changes and change objects and to check the history of changes. You can also use the reporting facility to see what changes a person has made. Next slide, please. On this slide, you see a list of changes where you can see the ID that made the change and the objects that were affected by the change. You can use the line command to view the underlying statements for a change and get more details about a specific change. Next slide, please. In summary, the DB2 administration tool version 7.2 has added the new change management process. The change management process could be optional or mandatory by user ID. And the three major processes are register, analyze, and run. You can also promote and import changes to other systems. The new change management function in the admin tool simplifies the process of recording and tracking DB2 changes. Next slide, please. This concludes today's demonstration on the DB2 change management process. And I thank you for participating. And now I'll turn it to the operator for your questions and comments.
Thank you, Baha. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For question one, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, star 2. And if it was low, star 3. And at this time, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to respond. Question two, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause for a brief moment. Moving on to question three, does your current tools and solutions provide all the functionality that you require? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Once again, we'll pause. And for our last question, we hope you enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Once again, we'll pause. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your questions, press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad at any time. The announcer will say the following. And at this time, I will turn the call over to Baha while we wait for questions. Baha?
Yeah, thank you.
Baha, there are no questions in the queue. Once again, star 1 if you do have a question. We'll pause for just a moment. We do have a couple questions that I've queued up. We'll first move to Richard Hagen with Unisys.
Yes. I was wondering, with superseded changes, what additional processing is required?
If we supersede the change, in other words, if we supersede the pending changes, the current change will be implemented ahead of the pending changes, and it would be in analyze status, and then after the analyze completes, you will be running that change.
So the changes that are superseded, they need to be reanalyzed, though, right?
Right.
And I was wondering about one other thing.
I'm sorry. They would be placed in defined status. So you will have to go back and reanalyze them.
Okay. I was wondering about something else. Some users are very much in love with views, and modifying a group of 20, 30, 40 or more views manually can be a real problem. Can I use masks to help me fix the views, add new columns or delete columns, make changes to views?
The mask can be used for, they're called also translation masks. It's basically when you go from one system to another.
Uh-huh.
So there will be if you are doing a compare by running the object compare or a compare change, by using mask, you will be doing this translation. The tool will be doing a translation automatically for you. So in virtue, you are kind of like renaming. So if you are promoting a change to from development to production, you would have in the mask, you will have the name for development, and then next to it, the name of the production. And the tool will handle that automatically for you.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, star 1, if you do have a question, we'll now hear from Sanjay Trehan with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah, I have a question regarding compare. Can we compare between two subsystems?
Basically, right now the object compare works on table spaces and DB2 databases, not at the subsystem level. But if you know all the databases of the subsystem, you can select those in the source or the target.
Or the databases, but it doesn't go to the other subsystem and look at the catalog of that database. It just looks at it within the database, within the subsystem, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is there any versions coming up to compare between two subsystems in the future?
Uh, the compare, actually the compare, it does, you can compare between two subsystems.
And? And, okay. But in the ISP panels, there was no mention of it. It was just the database name was there. How do we say this? A different subsystem or a different helper?
Well, if you had with the new change, if you had that in a version file, and so by virtue of the version file, you can do that.
Oh, by the virtue of version files, not
right.
Okay, thanks.
Now move on to Rob Helling with IBM.
Yes, good afternoon. Is it possible to run this compare process in a batch mode? Because we have lots of developers with very different kind of skills. So to they don't have the knowledge for this products. So if we can give them a batch job which they can run with only the input of the DDL to do the change.
So are you saying, if I understand you correctly, are you saying the screen navigation, if you can run that in a batch mode?
Yes, especially the compare between a DDL data set and the catalog.
That's what the tool creates for you. It's the compare job.
Yes, but now you have to go into the product and add those define which is target and which is the source. If we can put it in a batch job so that they only have to say, okay, this is my source.
But the screen navigation, you cannot do that in a batch mode, but the apply job or the compare, that's going to be a batch job, the compare itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to go to the product, to the ISPF interface to make those. And now the other thing is that this dialogue, if you don't want to go through the dialogue, which I couldn't go through in detail on this product, if you don't want to go through the catalog the next time, you can save that dialogue in the product. And next time you come through, you don't have to go through all of these screens.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go to the job directly.
Okay.
So that's a good feature that I'm going to help you in this process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Sure.
And as a final reminder, star 1, we'll now move on to Jack Rajpurohit with UPS.
Hi, Baha.
Hi.
The recover, the backout changes,
mm-hmm.
How does that work internally? Like, you know, what is it doing behind the scenes?
Well, basically, first of all, recover, it doesn't work with fast changes or immediate changes.
The immediate changes means?
So it only works with normal changes.
Okay.
And basically, you would also, you can only recover completed changes.
Okay.
All right? So basically, it will, when you're working on a change and you would like to create a recover change, it will create it for you and then actually in the format of WSL. And then when you run that, it will reverse the completed change for you.
So it's not that it's going through the logs and reverting it back.
Which log?
Like, you know, if you make a change, if you implement a change, and it's successfully implemented, and then you're saying you're going to back out a change, does it read the logs to see what it changed, or it's actually kept it in one of its internal tables and it's backing out that way?
But no, it wouldn't read the log.
Okay.
Is that
why you're saying that you cannot do the fast changes?
Well, because fast changes, they get implemented within the register process.
Right, I understand. That's why I'm asking that, you know, since it doesn't read the logs, it won't be able to do the fast
changes. Right.
You haven't done anything on that. All
right.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Sure.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn it back over to you, Baha, for any additional or closing comments.
Well, thank you all. I appreciate your time and for participating in this teleconference. And if you have any further questions, please you can contact me on this email, bmajid@us.ibm.com. And also, I would like to tell you about the Red Book on the subject that will be coming out soon. The Red Book is SG247441, which is on the admin tool and the change management process. And thank you all.
Once again, we thank you for your participation. Have a great day.